This is Welcome Home Radio, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on locally owned KYNO. Brought to you by the Community Housing Council. Now, here's your host, Don Scordino.
Well, good morning. It's time for Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your weekly host, and we want to welcome all of you to Welcome Home Radio, where we try to give you all the local information about real estate and everything to do with homes, the community, everything that impacts housing. And each week we bring you different guests, which is one of the beauties of this show. So we seem to every week have different perspectives, a different take on things, and of course, different topics. Today we have Susan Britter here. Susan has been in the real estate industry for a while, I think since you were young, although you still are young, right?
Very young.
Yes, all right.
Very young.
And you have been in the home warranty side of it since I can remember.
Yes, very long time, since the 80s.
All right, and I do remember when you first came out with this thing called a home warranty. I'm thinking, that'll never take.
Yeah.
Well, here we are 40 years later. Pretty soon, I'm about to admit I was wrong.
Yeah, it had been around a lot longer than that. It just wasn't in the central San Joaquin Valley yet.
All right, and we'll talk more about that, and we'll lean on some of your experience for home maintenance and ideas on that.
Sure.
Our other guest here today is Rip Hovde. Did I say it right this
Hovde.
Time? Hovde. Yeah, you know,
it's a hard name.
It shouldn't be. It's only two syllables.
I know, but it's still hard.
All right. So basically you're saying you forgive me
for
mispronouncing your name.
Not a problem.
Even though I've known you for
ever.
Long, long time.
Exactly.
All right. But at least I get the first name right.
Yeah. Well, Rip. You can't mess up Rip.
All right. Rip is with his own company.
That's
called
correct.
The Dallas Legacy Group.
Yes, sir.
All right. And you've been selling real estate here in the Fresno area
for 25 years plus.
25 years. Mm-hmm. All right. And so I think, you know, today we have some guests here that have lots of experience. And with that experience comes knowledge and wisdom. So we're going to share it with all our guests. All right. I also want to take this time to remind our listeners that you can either listen to this show on the radio, 940 AM, or you can go to the App Store and get KYNO 940 AM, and then you can listen off your phone or your device, wherever you're at, or you can stream it at www.kynofresno.com, and if you go to the website, you can also get the archives. So let's say you had to miss half of it, and all the knowledge that Rip brings to us. Well, you can always go back and hear it again.
So, there you go.
All right.
You won't miss a beat.
That's right. And we want to thank the Community Housing Council for sponsoring this show and helping to make the show relevant. Because the community and housing, that's what we're about. So I want to start off in this segment about what is the importance of maintaining a home, whether it's your home, whether it's a single family residence, a condo, an apartment, just wherever you live. How important is it to maintain that place?
Well, it's hugely important. Basic maintenance, otherwise we call it in the industry deferred maintenance.
Yeah, deferred.
Which is always an issue when we come up to a house. I had just did a video actually on home inspection a week and a half ago on the importance of having a home inspection, which we uncovered quite a few things which you can't see from the eye. And I would just share mine. The front of the house, I looked up and the roof looked great. The backside of the roof was toast, and they called for a new roof. No life. Mm-hmm. I was shocked. I was like, whoa, I would have never guessed that from just walking up.
And you have years and years of experience
exactly.
of looking at things. You know, a statistic I always have liked to share, and this comes from years ago, but I think it still holds true today, is ASHI, which is the American Society of Home mm-hmm. Inspectors, states that about 50% of what they find on their average home inspection, not even the seller of the property would have known about regardless of the length of time they lived in their home. So when a buyer waives a home inspection, they are waiving that amount of information yeah. about probably what's going to be the biggest investment in their life.
Well, Susan, I don't let my people waive it. The home
Good.
Inspection. That's how important I feel. I will tell you what I learned on this one also. The buyer had trouble getting homeowner's insurance because they wanted that roof to be 21 years old or less.
Mm. Mm.
And now it's looking like he's going to have to put a new roof on as soon as he closes escrow.
All right, which is okay if you know that.
Ahead of time.
Going ahead of
yeah.
time, right.
And you don't get an unhappy surprise 2 weeks after it closes escrow, and all of a sudden you go to try to come up with money for a new roof. That would be
terrible.
Pretty bad.
So the basic things on just basic maintenance. So first of all, like when you're an investor, when you do a rental contract, I always make sure to let them know we need to change the furnace filter every month. It was basic. And then we deliver the furnace filter every month, so it makes sure it gets changed, right? Second thing is I like in my house, because I did have a water leak, a pipe broke. So we have these Bluetooth devices now to detect water when there's a water leak, because that's a mess.
How does that work?
Yeah.
It's just a device. I got it on Amazon, and there's five of them. That's like about $100, and you put them by the toilet.
$100 for all five or each?
No, for all five.
Wow.
It wasn't bad. And then you put them like in the restroom and it just detects if there's a leak. I needed more because you can go up in the attic and put it by your condensers or your furnace and things like that. That was pretty inexpensive. The other thing I would like to remind everybody is also with the gutters. If you don't clean out your gutters, it's what happened on this house as well. It caused dry rot and because the water piled up and then the whole fascia had to be replaced on several sections of that house. So just a couple of quick ones is just furnace filter, and then also your gutters, keeping them clean.
Yeah.
I had somebody complaining to me about the cost of their electricity bill. Went out there to take a look at it, and sure enough, the air filter was just packed full of dust. I don't see how that compressor could have breathed. Yeah.
Well, a lot of them can't eventually. Changing your filter, it's like not changing the oil in your car or doing other things. It definitely will impact the functionality of an HVAC system. There's no doubt about it. Plus the air quality that you're breathing in your own home. But it's something that is so simple. And you don't have to go and buy one of those types of filters that are anti-allergen that cost a lot. It actually makes the unit work harder because it's harder for the airflow to go through that. That's why it captures all those particles. You can go to the dollar store and buy filters at the dollar store and just keep changing them. Works fine.
Mm-hmm. I got to give credit to a home inspector who said this about 5 or 6 years ago. He said, having a dirty air filter for your air conditioner is like wearing a mask during COVID that was full of dust.
Yeah.
He goes, why would you want to breathe through that?
Yeah.
And it'd be hard to breathe through
that.
So, yeah, change those air filters. So if you spend $1 a month changing them out, I'll bet you save a whole lot more on your electric bill.
Yeah, it's not hard. Plus, you know, I think if somebody gets into the habit of doing that, they can actually look at this filter and see what's in that and realize, I think most people just forget. Because it's hidden. It's in a little compartment somewhere, and they just don't think about it. But a homeowner should have a checklist of things that they do monthly or maybe quarterly and then annually. And just actually do it. You'd be surprised how much better a house will age.
I've got a new theory on why people don't think about changing their air filter. Because you got to look up to see that air filter. And nowadays, everybody's when they walk, they're looking down at their phones.
They're looking down at their phone. It's true.
All right. Do you think my theory will go very far?
Yeah.
I think your theory is probably actually pretty accurate, unfortunately.
All right. All right. So clean the air filter, clean the gutter. How about weeds out in the front yard where it impacts the neighborhood or the...
That's huge, especially now with mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
Out.
Any standing water.
Yeah.
Anywhere water is collecting, that's a really big deal because you can be pristine in your own habits with your own property. But I think, you know, if the next door neighbor has a green pool or they just have a bucket there with standing water in it, or maybe they're a gardener and they have pots, they need to put them upside down so they don't collect water. Yep. It's a breeding ground for mosquitoes, and you're living right next door, and it's going to be a mess at your house.
Well, and also, if you don't upkeep your property, right? You have the weeds growing, and it's the first thing. Let's say you list your house, and it's full of weeds, which I shared that story a minute ago. Did an open house, and the seller moved out of the area and turned the water off 2 weeks ago. Well, we already know how hot it is here. So now the front yard looks like it's an REO, foreclosure home, or short sale, which we've had a bunch of them, right? And I'm like, that's automatically going to cost money. And the sellers are going to see that. It's going to give the buyer an idea that, okay, what else is wrong with this house?
Yeah, it just doesn't look like it's been cared for.
Yeah, or now I'm looking at, okay, this is going to be a new whole lot, yard. Now we're looking at $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, and they're going to subtract it off the top of whatever offer they're looking at.
If they even continue looking at it.
Yes, correct.
They might say, nope, rip, I don't want to see it.
It's too much work for me.
What's the old adage? You don't get a second chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
That's
plus, a lot of people
too.
Don't want to buy a project. They want to buy a home.
And in today's market, I'm seeing that more and more.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
All right. And when we get back from this first commercial break, we're going to talk more about that in today's market, the term you just coined there. And what's it like and what's it take to sell a home? What's it take to buy a home in today's market? So stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO.
If it weren't for kids, have you ever thought there wouldn't be no Santa Claus? Look what the storm just brought, thank God for kids.
Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host, and it's the first time we've played that intro music, thank God for kids. But see, today's kind of a special time. It's our board operator, Bobby Thistle, his first time back, and wanted to say congratulations to Bobby and Betsy Thistle, because you just had your second baby boy.
Thank you, Don. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're here. I made it.
All right.
Didn't sleep much, but I made it. Yep.
Yeah. You do look pretty tired.
Yeah. That happens when you add a second baby to the mix. But everybody's healthy, and I appreciate the congratulations. It's a blessing. We're excited.
Yeah. So thank God for kids.
That's
otherwise,
right.
There'd be no Santa Claus.
Like the lyric said. That's right.
All right. Well, thank you, and keep a good home form.
I will.
You got two boys now, Torin and Flynn.
That's right. And that's why I tune in to Welcome Home Radio.
There you go.
Yeah, so you know how to take care of them kids, right?
Now's a perfect time to buy your first investment property.
That's right.
All right, Rip, start selling them on
that idea.
All right, truly, congratulations
yes,
to you. That's a nice
awesome.
Family there. Betsy and Bobby, especially Betsy. I don't know about Bobby, but Betsy is great.
What a great name, Betsy Thistle. What a great name. It really is.
I think so, too. All right. Susan Britter and Rip Hovde.
Very good.
All right. Our guests today, and in the first segment, we were talking about maintaining a home. And how does that impact the sale of a home? So a seller wants to put their home on the market. They want to find a buyer, and of course they need every dollar they can get.
Of course.
So how does the maintenance of a home impact what kind of price they're going to get on their home?
That's a great question. First of all, we've seen over and over and over again that the homes are well maintained, have been updated. Carpet, paint, some regular items sell faster and for a higher dollar amount. So that's not even negotiated. That's just a proven fact. That's what happens. Homes that are neglected or need some updating, we're going to sit on the market longer, and are going to, in this market, suffer the spiral down. We're chasing the market down. So I heard somebody say a long time ago, it was like, is it easier to predict the market going down or up? Well, it's like throwing a tennis ball on the ground. Is it easier to catch it going down or coming up? So that's how the market is right now. Now, we do see a shift in the market right now in our area, and we can see a lot of price reductions. And if you look at the houses that have had price reductions, some of them are in really good shape, but the majority of them have had some deferred maintenance, or the sellers just didn't give it that extra oomph. And there's a lot of things you can do fairly inexpensive to get that house ready. You want to put the, you said earlier, Susan, the first impression.
Yeah, you just have to provide a good first impression. It doesn't have to look like a model home. And staging is wonderful, but it doesn't have to be staged. But it has to be really clean.
Yes.
And look cared for.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Cared for. That's important.
Yep.
Because a buyer wants to know that that home has been cared for.
Correct.
And some of the things that maybe you don't see, like maybe mm-hmm. that drip underneath the P-trap, under the bathroom sink. You know, somebody who's on top of it, they're taking care of that. They're looking for that and maintaining it. Somebody who doesn't even care to mow the front yard, did they really bother to look under the bathroom sink? Probably not.
Yeah.
And buyers are aware of that.
You know, one of the first things I do when I show Susan, we're going out looking at houses, it's the first time I'm showing Susan. I point out the things that I see that look like need to be updated or a possible issue. Second thing, back in the old days, they were real popular, was people would put comp over shake.
Yeah, right.
And you can
right.
see that little bitty gap at the end. And I'd point that out, said, when you need to re-roof this home, it's a total re-roof. I mean, boards, everything. Second thing I do, I go into the garage or the water heater closet, and I look for that pest tag, not for cockroaches or spiders, but for termites, subterranean termites, dry rot, and fungus. If there's no tag on that, I'll tell the buyer, you know, this house is going to most likely have termites, because there's only two types of homes in Fresno, the ones that have termites or the ones that are going to get them. That's what I say. And then if they haven't had that done or haven't had that, they could have that leak in the bathroom that could have been going on forever. And I don't know how many times we've gone out and we looked under the kitchen sink and that board under the kitchen sink is all waving.
Yeah.
Because of the water damage.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
We talked to Susan, and the number one enemy of a home is water.
It just creates so much damage, so much secondary damage. It can be very expensive to repair it. You can end up with mold.
Yep.
All kinds of things can happen as a result of water. I mean, that's why we were talking about, you know, homeowners insurance companies have a really tough time with it.
Well, mold mediation is super expensive, $6,000 to $10,000.
It could be, and pretty much not covered by homeowners insurance
right.
at all these days. And so homeowners are going to have to pay for that on their own, so they need to pay attention. It's just that they're not paying attention, or they don't care, or who. Life gets busy, you know. Bobby's got a baby in the middle of the night, keeping him up all night, probably a two-year-old, I'm guessing.
And a brand new one.
Right, running around. And wife that needs some help. And he starts smelling this kind of musty smell in one of the bathrooms. And maybe he would take care of it, but people would just say, oh, I just got a musty smell, I'll get to it someday. Well, that musty smell is the smell of water that's creating, you know, problems in there. But this is what happens. Life gets busy, and then you don't pay attention to it, and you don't think much of it until one day you walk in that bathroom and you're walking on a floor that's wet, and the cabinet is wet, and the wall is wet, and you've got a disaster on your hands.
Yeah, so the other thing is, when you walk into the house has an odor, musty, pet, cigarette, whatever.
Yeah.
That's automatic a negative for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
So.
Right. So for all our listeners, this is something funny that happened before the show started today. We were all gathering around getting our seats, and Rip said, well, what do you think the number one culprit is in a home? All three of us at the same time said water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that could be the rain gutters.
Yep.
It could be, here's another one. A bad grade of landscaping.
Mm-hmm. That happens often.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sometimes who pays attention to it? You know, you put in a flower bed and then you bring in more fill dirt and a little more and then mulch. And next thing you know, the soil is maybe 2 or 3 inches above the foundation and you got moisture entering now.
Now, the other one, we closed a deal a little bit ago on the gutter. It was the gutter was facing the wrong direction and the water was piling up by these bay windows. Oh. And you could see inside at the base like this here, a stain. And sure enough, when they did the home inspection, they did a mold inspection, had mold and they caught moisture. So that came out to be about a $10,000 deal that they had, the seller had to repair.
Yeah. We see it happen a lot when we get claims of someone says, I know I've got a water issue here, a leak, but I'm not sure what's coming from. And we'll send a technician out and they'll find that there's sprinklers that have either been incorrectly put in or when the sprinkler goes on, half of it's going straight into the side of the house as opposed to out into the flower bed or the grass or whatever. That happens a lot. And again, you see that where water is pooling when the sprinklers go on. Either they're on for too long, but most of the time it's they're just not programmed properly and not set up properly for the house. But over a period of time, that can cause a lot of damage.
Yeah. Okay, so we're talking, and I think we're making a good point about how important it is to maintain a home. How easy is it? What's the ease of maintenance?
Well, I think it's pretty good. Susan talked about it earlier, make a schedule of mm-hmm. things you're going to do throughout the year. You know, every month change your furnace filter. Maybe in the summertime you check your sprinklers once every quarter or something like that just to make sure. Or
and
if
you
have a gardener, tell them.
Of course, your HVAC system is super important to have it checked preseason and winter for the heater and then preseason and spring for the air conditioner. That's one of the things that they're going to check for too, depending upon the type of system that you have, is to make sure those condensate lines are properly attached.
Yep.
Because I cannot tell you the number of claims that we get for air conditioners whose condensate lines have failed in the attic or maybe it's up on a roof. And how do they know they failed? Because suddenly a ceiling caves in. Or they see a big, massive water stain starting to form and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because it's been leaking. So you need to have them maintained for the sake of the lifespan and the operational efficiency of the units themselves, but also for that reason, because hopefully that HVAC person is checking those lines to make sure that they're all properly connected and sealed properly so you don't have that problem.
Right. And so you're talking also here about secondary damage. That ceiling could cave in, which causes a much more expensive repair than the $150 service call that it would have been in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. If they would have caught. Now, sometimes even with that, things are going to happen. Things are going to come apart. We all know that things will happen no matter what. You're just trying to mitigate as much loss as possible and make sure your things function in your house properly, right? You don't want to have your air conditioner go down in the middle of July. Have this condensate issue, and now you've got this nightmare. And I mean, we see it every single year.
That's why you have that checklist for maintenance. So maybe in April, you have your air conditioning checked.
Yes.
And then in wintertime comes around for your furnace. Okay, so maybe in August, you haven't come out and checked your furnace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got a good one for people. So every month when you make your mortgage payment or your rent payment, so even if you're renting, same thing. When you make that payment, take a walk around the house, the inside and the outside. Look, go to the side of the home, see what's there. Just give it a look. Heck, you might notice that there's a cracked window. Mm-hmm. Maybe the neighbor's gardener kicked up a rock with the lawnmower and cracked a window.
Yeah.
So just keep an eye out.
You know, I noticed, I spent a lot of time out in my yard because I loved to garden, and I just noticed walking down the side of my house over the weekend that several of the different pipes, lines, things that have the insulation wrapped around them to prevent them from freezing, that it's all deteriorated. And I went, oh my gosh, did I not notice that before, or did this just happen? And so that's something I need to take care of before winter.
All right, so keep that in mind. It not only is it important to maintain the home, but it's also easy if you do it regularly. With those thoughts, we are going to our next commercial break, so stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO.
Here comes the sun, I say it's all right.
Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. Here in the studio, we have Susan Britter with First American Home Warranty, Rip Hovde of the Dallas Legacy Group. And I got it, you know, at the last break, we introduced Bobby Thistle's new son, who was just born in the last week or so. And we had the
future
special
homeowner.
Yeah, future homeowner. Yeah,
investor.
Future investor. There you go.
A tycoon. But I have a question, because this time the first time I said, Bobby, this is the song I want. Thank God for Kids, and he put it on. This time he played the music, Here Comes the Sun. Now, did you mean your son, or are you talking about the solar system?
The heat at Fresno.
All right, here comes the heat. Right.
That's my guess.
I think he's playing that one for his new son. Here comes the sun. All right, getting serious now. Here we are heading into the summer months, and if we're not here already, why do you think some homes are selling fairly fast and others are taking a much longer time? And what can a seller do to be in that first category?
Well, sell quickly. We talked about it a little bit earlier, and we have plenty of ideas on what we can do, but you also have things we shouldn't be doing as far as listing our homes. So right now, the sellers, I sent you that article that I printed up. There's a big disparity between the seller's list price right now and what they're selling for. It's the biggest I've seen, I think, since I've been doing real estate. It was a big difference. And I think that right now, and we talked about it, I think off air, Susan, was the sellers have, if you price it overpriced in the beginning, you're in trouble. Overpriced listings right now are not a good idea. So make sure you talk to your realtor. Do your due diligence with the market updates and make sure that you're priced right. If you're thinking your home is worth X, Y, and Z, but you haven't done the upgrades or curb appeal or something, you're going to know within the first week if you're overpriced or not. Prime example, if you're not getting any showings, you're definitely overpriced. If you're getting some showings, you're a little bit. But that's just the key thing to look at. So how do we get people to come view the property? Well, first of all, you have to take professional pictures nowadays. You can't take them with the agent with the iPhone, although they are good, but that's not going to bring it across the plate. First of all, if we are in the social media market, right, we want those pictures to be SEO with the address under that attracts for the seller. Second of all, we make sure that it gets maximum eyeballs for the seller. So the house has got to look good. It's got to have good curb appeal and has to have some updates. It can't just be still basic and want top dollar. Otherwise, we're chasing the market down.
Well, and that's the problem with sellers, right? A lot of times they say, oh, well, the house four doors down sold for $700,000, but they have completely rehabbed
Correct.
That house.
Correct.
And theirs is original everything and not in such good shape, but they insist they want that.
Correct.
And well, it's a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Now, when I do open houses, I ask everybody what their thoughts are on the property. Give me a number, 1 to 10. What do you think of the property? That way I can give feedback to the sellers or the other agents on what the public is saying about the house. The public is going to tell you what that house is worth.
And sometimes the public's silence tells you what it's worth.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I like to read the market when I put a listing in, and if in the first 2 weeks, let's say, I get very, very minimal calls on it. That means that online, we don't look good. Maybe.
Sums up.
Yes. That's why nobody's choosing to come out and look at it. And it's probably price. Or not properly presented. Either it's not properly priced or not properly presented. Now, let's say in those first 2 weeks, get a lot of showings, but no offers. Well, that tells you something too, because now they've come into the home. Now they can see it. and sense it. And so if they're not making offers, that means there's something you have to correct. And I'll give you, when I said sense it, I was thinking of one I had a few years ago. Boy, the pictures looked fantastic. The numbers looked fantastic. But as soon as you open the door, you are hit with a scent of some very large dogs that lived in the home, along with a bunch of cats. So it took a special buyer to buy that, and it took a little longer to sell it.
Did the price change?
Yeah, had to change the price a little bit. Although when I originally priced it, I thought that would be a factor, so I factored it in, but I had to keep on factoring.
Yeah, I will tell you, on one of my higher end homes, did not have a pool, and that house needed a pool.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have had a pool in that house, it would have sold pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. What do you think pools add, or do they add to a home?
Well, we've asked the appraisers that, right? So typically, you're looking at $15,000, $30,000, $50,000 maybe, unless this is a big custom home, and they're still not going to give it a whole lot of value when we ask the appraisers how much they're giving it the value. So typically, is you're losing money when you build a pool. That's why a lot of folks will buy the house with a pool, and like we said a minute ago, a third, some want a pool, some don't want a pool, and some don't care.
Right. Yeah, if the house is good, they'll buy it with or without the pool. So that's why the appraisers give about a third of the value of building a pool. Yeah.
And they're expensive.
Everything, yeah.
To put in a pool.
I saw a quote for a lap pool, $100,000.
Oh, my Whoa. Goodness.
Yeah, I was
oh,
like,
wow.
That's what I said.
Whoa.
Okay, you saw that quote. Hopefully you didn't do it.
I did not do that. It's not for me.
Wow. Wow.
All right. That brings up something, too. Pools and the home warranty. Does home warranty cover a swimming pool?
Yeah. Yeah. Home warranties do provide coverage for the pool equipment, not the pool itself. So not the structure of the pool or the decking or the plaster or anything. Actually, when you look at that pool, basically nothing. It's that lump, if you want to call it, of equipment off to the side of the pool. That's what a home warranty is going to be covering. But that can be very pricey, as everything else is today.
That's also a maintenance issue for us to keep track of when we're working on our homes.
Is. Yeah.
So now, just food for thought, a lot of these new filters now are cartridges. And those only last about 2 years.
Yeah.
And they're about $145 for a 4-pack.
Yeah.
So if you see your
pool, buy them and do it yourself.
Correct.
If you have a pool company, do it yourself. You're probably looking at about a $450.
Yes.
Charge for that. But and people who do buy homes with pools are very excited to get a pool, but they don't realize they have to take care of it.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to take care of it. I always advise, if they can afford it, to get a pool guy.
Yeah, that's about $150 a month now.
It is. It's worth it, though.
Yep.
It's worth it.
Oh, it's worth it. So I remember when I bought a home with a pool for the first time, I thought, you know, to save a few bucks, I'm going to do it myself. How hard can it be? Well, all right. So after a few months, and I was losing the battle of the color of that blue swimming pool.
The swamp creature was getting a crawl out of it.
It was no longer blue. It was turning shades of green. I finally thought, okay, this is a losing battle. I hired a pool company. And within a week, they had it looking great.
And that's what they do for a living, and they do a good job of it. And, I mean, I realize not everybody can afford that, but they can't afford not to do that either, because if their pool turns green and they have a problem, now they're going to have an issue with having to wash it. That could destroy the plaster.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. It's way more costly to have a pool turning green in the middle of summer.
So for a home warranty, how much more does it cost to add the pool equipment in there?
$200 for the year.
What if it's a pool and a spa?
Same $200.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if it's a pool and a separate hot tub?
Still $200 with our company. We just have pool spa as an option, whether they're together, whether they're separate. We even have some where there's a pool with a built-in spa as part of the pool, and there's a waterfall, and there's a separate freestanding hot tub, believe it or not. $200.
Okay, and I liked what you said with our company, because each company can have their different.
Oh yeah,
set
and
of
some will charge.
Policies.
You have a pool and you have a spa. You're gonna be paying $200 and another $200 for the other.
Okay, so that's why part of the process in buying a home is look into home warranties and see what is the best fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely. And best piece of advice I can give you about that is anybody that's interested in a warranty, don't go online and just rummage around. Oh, the disasters I see. You need to have a local person, and there's a number of them. You need to actually talk to a real person and talk about the home you're purchasing, or if you've been in your home for a while and you just want a home warranty, what your needs are in that home.
Yeah, the other thing you do is call a local realtor and see uh-huh. What they've been recommending, who they work with.
Yeah, they'll know who's all the representatives for the various different home warranty companies that work this area, because who's in this area might not be in another area. So somebody's coming from San Diego, and they're used to these companies over here. There might be a couple in common, but it could be a couple completely different that service our area right here, and that's very important.
And I'd like to say this, that the companies like First American, like yours, that has a local representative, I like to say you're not really a representative, you're an advocate.
That's what I call myself all the time.
Do you?
I do. I use that word all the time.
Okay.
When I talk to your buyers, when I talk to a homeowner that just wants a home warranty, they've been in the property for 20 years, I say part of what I do is I'm just your advocate. When it comes to service, sometimes there's snags or you're not sure what's covered or there's a dire emergency or it could be a million different things. You have an advocate, and that's part of what I'm talking about. Somebody just goes willy-nilly onto the internet and finds some company headquartered on the East Coast with, I just can't tell you how many disasters I've seen.
But they were
that.
$10 cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, forgot. Oh, my.
I was being sarcastic.
$99 special. Oh, my gosh. I just want to go, no, 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 no. But a lot of people have wasted their money that way, too, because they'll say, I just can't even deal with that anymore. And they will have already paid for that year and only be 2 months into it, but they still want to talk to me and buy a whole new warranty from us, and they just wasted all their money because they made a bad choice.
And as far as an advocate goes, and this has been a while back, so you may not remember it. I had a client call me saying, hey, they're getting nowhere with the home warranty company. And I asked them what the problem is, and I think they're explaining it wrong. Of course, they turned it down. So I called you as an advocate mm-hmm. For them, gave the story of what happened, and you got it covered.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably don't remember that because you've probably done that for me 20 times.
I do. The one I remember with you was when you got married way, 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 way back, and you were getting ready to go on your honeymoon. And it was a heater claim with a client of yours, and it didn't work from the moment they moved in, and it was a real critical situation for you because if warranty didn't pay for it, you were not going to be able to go on your honeymoon. I remember it vividly.
Wow.
I do. We ended up covering it with the company I was with at the time.
That's why you wanted honeymoon.
I remember that.
I'm speechless. I don't remember it.
You don't remember it, but I remember it. But that's probably early in my career, so I remember something like that. That was a really, really big deal.
Yeah. All right. But with that, it is time for our next commercial break. But stay tuned to Welcome Home Radio, 940 KYNO.
I'm proud of the house we built. It's stronger than sticks, stones, and steel. It's not a big place.
Well, welcome back to Welcome Home Radio. This is Don Scordino, your host. And here in the studio, we have Rip Hovde of Dallas Legacy Group and Susan Britter of First American Home Warranty here. We've been talking about all kinds of things in real estate, all the way from how important it is to maintain a home to how easy it is to maintain a home. But we've also talked about sellers getting their home prepared. But I want to dive a little more into that one. For this segment, what is the importance of preparing a home to be shown to a prospective buyer? And let's look at that first through the eyes of a buyer. So I've never been in that house before. I'm going in, boom, the door's open.
Well, we know that within the first few minutes, if not seconds, to make up their mind about the house just from the first impression. So right off the get-go, they're going to make up their mind. So this house is going to have to be clean. It should be decluttered, depersonalized.
Curb appeal from before you even get to the front door is going to matter.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So it's the yard also. Here's a tough question. What do you about do about the neighbor's yard?
Yeah, it's a hard
offer to cut it.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, where they got cars.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah, and really, it goes back to, let's go back to the 1850s when you went and talked to your neighbor in a neighborly way and say, "Hey, man, can I help you out? Can I help you do that?" Because I remember found a great looking house for somebody. We pulled up, and the neighbors were bad. It was 4 or 5 cars on the lawn, junk everywhere, and my buyer didn't even want to go in and see the house.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, everybody should take pride in where they live.
Pride. I like that.
But a lot of times, renters don't take as much pride, if you want to call, because it's not their property. They don't care. And that's not all of them. So I know that some buyers want to know the percentage of rentals in the neighborhood versus owned properties.
Correct.
Because it stands a better chance of people maintaining these properties.
Keep your value up.
Yeah, to keep the value up. And I can understand that, because you can do a stellar job, but your next door neighbor, it's disastrous.
I've had people ask me that question. How many people own the properties around here?
Yeah, and I know the title companies can give you that information very, very easily. But you and I talked about this on a show, I don't know, last year or whatever, that no matter where you live, you always need to take pride in where you live, but not just for yourself, but for your neighborhood. We're part of a community bigger than just our own little four walls that we live in, and it's up to us to help everybody. And we maintain our home. We're keeping all the real estate prices up on the block, the neighborhood, not just our own.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing I tell people too, Don, is when they're looking at a house, they really like it. I tell the buyers, hey, come back on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, drive the neighborhood, see how it is then. And if you really feel like it, go knock on a couple doors around the neighborhood and ask them, what do they think about the neighborhood? And do you know anything about the house?
Now, I have another theory. I got lots of theories, by the way.
They're all good.
All right. Thank you. where you said the tenant probably doesn't care because they don't own it. I think more than not caring, they may think, well, that's the owner's responsibility.
Right, exactly. It's not. It's not my responsibility. I don't own it. So they're not taking the time.
Right.
They're just assuming the owner's going to take care of it for them.
Right. And yet the... It's you're living in the home. When you rent, even when you rent, you're buying that 30 days at a time, granted, but take pride in it. I mean, that's where your family is. In fact, I'm going to tell Bobby Thistle, take good care of your home. This way your boys can learn how to be proud of that place. All right. He's nodding his head. Yes. All right. All right. What is, let's go inside the house. What can be done inside the house to make that home attractive?
Again, so then we're talking about decluttering. Make sure it's clean. If they had pet, you want to have the house super clean. Yeah.
Clean goes a long way, even if it's dated.
I've seen people looking in the rails and the windows and the sliders. Yeah. I mean, that was one young lady. Looked at a house, and then she goes, I always check the window rails and the patio rails just to see. If these aren't clean, I guarantee you they haven't cleaned the house very well. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, okay. So I start looking at those myself now.
Yeah.
You know what I look for? One of the first things, only because it's so easy, is the air filter.
Yeah.
If that air filter is filthy, dirty, then chances are there's a lot of stuff in the house that is too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing is that if they haven't changed that air filter, we talked about air conditioning, those things are expensive. That's going to shorten the life of the air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Of course, when they walk in the door, they're going to get smell-o-vision.
There you go.
Explain yourself.
That's a new one.
Smell-o-vision.
I think I just made that up.
We have to coin that.
They're going to have smell-o-vision. Some people do not have a good sense of smell. Others have a really good sense of smell. And the smell can immediately turn them off, regardless of the look of the property and the physical cleanliness aspect. Yeah. It might look good, but it's got the smells in it. That's a really, really big deal.
I heard a really, really good one a few years ago, and I use it a lot now. Somebody was telling their seller, rather than saying declutter, because that makes it sound like they're, cluttered. He said, follow the 25% rule of marketing a home. And that 25% rule means buyers are looking for more space. So when they hit that entryway and they see inside the house for the first time, let them see the space. So remove, before you put it on the market, remove about 25%. And then, that's not an exact number. But give it more space. Also, that visual distraction, those football trophies up on the wall. I remember getting chewed out by a seller or a buyer one time. Me and the husband, when we went through the home, we saw all these trophies from Fresno State, and we started talking sports. And when we got outside, the wife chewed us both out, the husband and me, because we weren't paying attention to the house.
Oh.
You couldn't imagine why anybody would ever chew me out, right, Susan?
Well, I can't, because you're such a nice guy. But
there you go. Hey, we only got a couple of minutes left, so I'd like to ask each of you, what do you want our listeners to remember most about our discussion today?
Okay, so we talked about a lot of topics.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So I think, first of all, it was just proper maintenance. Have a checklist. It's not too difficult, but deferred maintenance costs you money, and it will cost you value in the house. The second thing is a clean house sells quicker. Curb appeal, you want just a general cleaning. We always tell them to add flowers or mulch or something by the front. But keep an eye on the little details. They go a long way. And then, like your point, 25% less, the point you made, maybe not declutter, but just remove some of the items, put it in the garage, and go from there. And hopefully your house will sell faster than you want, and you'll get top dollar.
I got a good one for you on that 25% rule. So you got to be careful when your prospective seller is related to somebody who already sold. And I told them about the 35% rule. And she goes, well, my mother told me it's the 25% rule.
Well, some houses might need 35%. Some might need 90%,
That's right.
Depending upon the house. But I would imagine as realtors, that's a very difficult conversation that you have to have with sellers about their lifestyle, how they live, and how that physically manifests itself in a house you're about ready to list, because it's critical.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we deal with a lot of difficult situations, difficult conversations.
Yeah, that's really a hard one, because they're going to feel insulted, or, you think I'm whatever, and it's the house that they're going to see.
We just remind them, we're your advocate. We're not your realtor.
Yeah, I like that word.
Well, that's what realtors are, they're advocates. That's
exactly.
People need them.
That's what Don was saying a long time ago. He's like, hey, we're your advocate for home ownership in California.
There you go. Susan, sure. 20 seconds or less. What do you want people to remember most about our discussion today?
Pretty much what Rip was saying is that maintenance is very, very important. And you never know when you're going to need to sell a house. So it's not about, oh, I'm just going to be a slob and I'm not going to maintain anything.
Yeah,
and
good point.
20 years from now, when I decide to downsize, then I'll worry about it then. It's
life
like
happens.
Weight gaining 3 pounds over Christmas, lose it now rather than all of a sudden you're 80 pounds overweight because
only
you
three?
Didn't handle it. You know what I mean? 10, 12.
All right.
But you get my point.
Got your point. And hopefully, I want everybody to remember how much we appreciate your listenership.
Yeah.
And appreciate our guests coming in. And thank you to everybody. Have a great weekend. You all take care.